Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Monday Night Football, not in San Francisco, about 40 miles away. It's Levi's Stadium, and to help us break it down, he's on the call tonight with Kevin Kugler for Westwood One. Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, and Tiki's former teammate, the great Kurt Warner. Kurt, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Awesome, man.
We
awesome.
Are good. Kurt was a teammate for half a season, basically. He was mentoring Eli.
Hey.
Everybody thought you were done, Kurt. You went out to Arizona and beasted it out there. Your career was amazing. Actually, it's one of the ones to be proud of because what you stand for and everything that you've done in your life. So we appreciate you for that.
I appreciate it, buddy.
But also for joining us now to talk about this game. Now, I know you've done the research and the pre-game, the pre-meetings and production meetings and et cetera. When you sat down, you've sat down with the Cleveland Browns. I'm wondering what the attitude is you get from them. Is it cocky? Is it confident? You know, what do they feel like? Because we can talk about it from afar, but until you're in the room with those guys, you don't really feel it. What are they like?
Well, I mean, I think there's a little of both. And, you know, any good team that you're on, there's always a little of both. You got to have confidence. I mean, without a doubt, you have to have confidence. And I believe this team does have confidence from Freddie Kitchens on down, Baker and OBJ. There's a lot of confidence in the locker room for the Browns. But I think there's also a little cocky. And again, I don't think that's a bad thing, as long as it doesn't get too big and doesn't blow up and you start reading your own press clippings. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that when your backs are against the wall or when nobody thinks you have a chance or when everybody wants to, knock you down because there was so much hype in the offseason, you got to believe that you can shut people up and you can prove to them that you are, what everybody was talking about, or you are what you think you are. And so I think there's a touch of both. I would probably say there's a little more humility now than there was, going into the season, because there was a big hype train around these guys. And we talk all about the talent, the shiny toys on the outside, and it hasn't quite played out like that as they're trying to put things together. But, the great thing is, they're 2-2, and they got an opportunity, if they win tonight, to be, number one in their division, even after a slow start. So a lot of stuff going on here, but I think they feel like they've settled in a little bit these last couple weeks.
Now, you talk about, them settling in, and we knew it would happen eventually. There's just too much talent on their team for them to be, bad, so to speak. But as you broke down the film on Baker in particularly, what's different in that Ravens game that we didn't really see in the Titans game or even in the Rams game? What was so different about last week? And they hung 40 on the Baltimore Ravens, who have a pretty decent defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was it started with the run game. I felt like earlier in the year, they were also trying to live up to that hype a little bit. Freddie Kitchens being a new, coordinator, head coach type position. Now I got to, play up to what we did at the end of last year. And Baker having a great stretch there at the end of last year. Man, I got to show people that I can play at that level. And they got a little bit away from what really made them good last year, and that was run first and play action, and then make the drop back part of the game the secondary part of it. I felt earlier in the year it was more, hey, let's drop back and show people we can play and throw it to all these guys on the outside. And last week they got back to run first and play action. And I think Baker settled in a little bit, too. I think the one thing that we miss because of all the great pieces they have is that their offensive line hasn't played nearly as well this year as it did last year when Baker was in there. They went a number of games without giving up any sacks, and things were just a little bit easier. Baker, not as much protection. He's bailing out of the pocket, I think, a little bit too quickly on a lot of plays. And I think last week they went back to getting the ball out of his hands quick, designing some quick things, and then taking their shots with play action. And it really was what made them good last year, and they got back to that a little bit more last week.
So we're talking to Kurt Warner. Kurt's on the call tonight. He's going to be at Levi's Stadium, which should have a nice energy, an energy that building's been searching for since it opened, and they left Candlestick. He's on the call with Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. You know, Kurt, you know what I wanted to ask you? Independent of draft status and independent of contract status, aside from the hype and even independent of offensive line play, just in terms of sheer toolbox, right? When you look at Garoppolo on film versus Baker Mayfield on film, who's got more tools in the toolbox, so to speak?
Man, that's a great question. I think they both have everything you would want in the toolbox. I think, you know, Jimmy's got an unbelievably quick release. I love that. He plays with great balance. Baker, maybe not as quick a release, but he also plays with great balance. He's got a big-time arm. He's really, really good on the run. You know, that both these guys will sling it, and they'll make some really, really tough throws. And then if there's one knock to me on both of them, it's that sometimes they try to make every throw, try to jam every throw in there, and they make some bad decisions with it. And, you know, that's really what both of them need to clean up. But I'm not sure either one has a bunch of weaknesses when you're talking about skill set or things that they can't do. I really like both of these guys from that standpoint.
Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, you know, Kurt, let's switch over to Dak Prescott, who, you know, we've seen him look really good at points this year. Yesterday he was bad. Now maybe that was just to chalk it up to a bad game. They didn't run the ball particularly effectively, especially early, and they were down, so they had to throw the ball a ton. Where do you evaluate him in his progress to being one of the top quarterbacks in the league? We know there's a lot hanging over this team. They were a preseason, or at least early part of this season, favorite to get to the Super Bowl. You know, he's playing for a contract. Where is he at right now in his development?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you look at a couple of things. First thing, you look at leadership. And I don't think there's any question that he's a big-time leader and a guy that can represent your organization as a franchise guy. So that's where it starts. And I think they love him from that standpoint. I think as far as within the structure of what their team has been, he's really good. You know, when you can keep a game close and he can give you wins late in a game, that is a huge, you know, check mark that you have to make, kind of like a Russell Wilson. You know, that team is always in the game, and if you make it a one-possession game, they're going to win a lot more than they lose. That's where Dak's been. The real true question to me when you're talking about a franchise quarterback is, can they carry a team? When everything else isn't working, can they put the team on their right arm and, you know, go throw 35 and 40 times and keep their team in games every single week? That is the box that we haven't checked yet. And that's where it gets so hard because, you know, contracts are ridiculous now. You know, $35 million a year for these quarterbacks. And if you're kind of slated, you know, in there or you're the next guy up, you just get that money even if you haven't proven that yet. And it's really hard because, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy that's in his fourth year in the league. And, you know, go back and look at Tom Brady. Go back and look at Ben Roethlisberger. Go back and look at these guys in their third, fourth, fifth year. They weren't the guys they are now either. And so the hard part is, okay, he's checked some really good boxes, but he hasn't checked all the boxes. And now it's come a time where we got to pay him based on that last box that he hasn't checked. And so as the Dallas Cowboys, you have to try to figure that out. Do you truly believe he can be that guy? And, you know, beginning of the year, everybody's like, oh, yeah, look at this. You know, he can be that guy, and he's doing it. And then he plays, you know, two teams where they don't run the ball very well, and they struggle to score points, and they struggle to put drives together and to make those consistently big plays. And so now do you take a step back and go, okay, maybe he's not that guy right now. And, you know, for Jerry Jones, it's going to have to be probably, we don't know if he's going to be that guy or not. Do we think he's going to be? And if we do, we're going to pay him $35 million a year. Mm. And if they don't, I don't even know. I mean, it's so hard because when you have a guy that checks some of those other boxes, it's tough to pass on that guy in hopes you can find another guy that you think can check more boxes. But that's really going to be the decision that Dallas has to make. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see. But I think Dak's a better quarterback than a lot of guys in this league. But he's not quite there yet in terms of proving to us that he can be that guy.
Yeah, no, we're still waiting for him to be that guy. You know, the record against teams with winning records and his stat line is, you know, not commensurate with that of a superstar. Still, it is relatively early in his career. I get that. It's Kurt Warner, of course, the great Kurt Warner. Hall of Famer. He's on the call tonight. He's got the Niners and the Browns. Kevin Kugler, Westwood One. Kurt, final thing for me, probably 30, probably about a minute or so, maybe a little bit less here. The Redskins are a disaster. You don't need to waste time on that. But how should they handle Dwayne Haskins the rest of the season?
I mean, I think, to me, it's always about if you think he's somewhat ready to play, where he can go out and compete for himself as much as for the organization, you put him in. I mean, they're at that point now where you play the young guy and you get prepared for the future more than anything. But if you don't feel like he can succeed, if you're putting him out there and you feel like he's, you know, he's underwater with what you're asking him to do, which kind of looked like where he was when he played against the Giants a couple weeks ago, I think the smart move is to pull back, and even if everybody wants him to play, just kind of go, he's not ready yet, and we're going to get him ready. So when we put him out there, we feel like we're putting him in a position to succeed. And it really feels like to me when all you talk about him, you know, from all the different coaches now, is he's not quite ready to be the starter yet. And I think if that's the case, then you continue to sit him until he's ready.
Hey, listen, man, we know you're juggling a lot. It's game day. We really appreciate you hopping on. Kurt Warner, thank you very much, Kurt.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.